Hello, and welcome again to the other side of paradise. Today we are going to take a different turn. So far we have profiled the Fitzgeralds as they have lived their lives, but now we need to take a short detour and look at the literary lives of the Fitzgeralds and how they mirror the lives they led. You've had your entire lives to read these books, so I'm not sure if it matters to say, but spoilers ahead. Amory Blaine, Anthony Patch, Jay Gatsby, and Dick Diver. These are the men who are and were F. Scott Fitzgerald, just as Zelda is Alabama Beggs. Each person, character, symbolizes a different moment in their lives, beginning with Amory Blaine. Amory is from Scott's premier novel, The Other Side of Paradise. Of all the characters Scott reflected himself into, Amory is simply Scott gazing into a mirror. Amory is a Princeton student who had literary inclinations. Amory is also from the Midwest and emphatically convinced that he will be wildly successful someday. Amory then has a flashing romance with a wealthy girl, but it begins to fizzle and he is promptly shipped away to fight in World War I. After Amory returns to the United States, he falls for yet another New York debutante. She eventually turns him down and he despairs. In the end, he states, "I know myself, but that is all." This is a highly autobiographical novel with just a tweak to the ending. If this narrative is unfamiliar to you, may I direct you to the episodes 1 and 2 of this podcast for retelling of this exact story, but in Scott and Zelda's lives. This side of paradise draws so heavily on Scott's life that that is what the novel is known for now. Amory is Scott. Amory's mentor is Scott's schoolteacher, Father Signor Fay. Amory's first love is likely Ginevra King, and Amory's second, more tragic love is Zelda herself. The other notable fact about Zelda in relation to this novel is that the publication of her letters with Scott have revealed lines of her own writing published in this novel. So even as they were separated, he was weaving her into his work. This is either, depending on your perspective, wildly romantic, or plagiarism. Scott's next book, The Beautiful and the Damned. In this case, Scott blended himself in a bit more. He is both Anthony Patch, but also Richard Carmel. You see, Anthony is born into money and is unmotivated. Even his stint in the army, again serving in World War I, fails to inspire anything in him. He has one great passion, though. Gloria Gilbert. She is gorgeous. And that is unfortunately all she is. Their relationship is bittersweet, a whirlwind of love and a disaster of alcoholism and selfishness. Neither are able to put aside themselves to love all the way. This is likely a commentary on Scott's own marriage, but a shallow reflection of it. Scott is obviously not unmotivated, and Zelda is not merely beautiful, and they did deeply love each other. So, Scott might also be Richard Carmel, the best friend of Anthony, who has just published a novel and is annoyingly proud of his success. Regardless, this is the stage in their lives we viewed last episode, the cracking marriage filled with alcohol, and two strong people constantly going head to head. Now here is where we begin to look on beyond the history that we have already seen. The Great Gatsby was written in France once the Fitzgeralds moved there in 1924. This novel marks a more mature, but less successful period of Scott's literary career. Ironically, the book that high schools call cultural currency now is a failed project of its time. The novel includes deep symbolism and themes that criticize American society. Once again, Scott split himself up in the novel. He is both Jay Gatsby in the story, but Nick Carraway in personality, while Zelda shares traits and lines with Daisy Buchanan. It is a far less autobiographical novel. The last completed novel is Tender as the Night, written at the same time that Zelda wrote Save Me the Waltz. Both focus on similar times in their lives, and with the couple separated at the time for reasons you'll hear about in the next episode, there were fights over the content of these novels. Scott felt that Zelda was capitalizing on his fame and then stealing his content. There were a series of arguments, many of which were conducted via letters, but both novels were published. Tender as the Night is set in the French Riviera, where the Fitzgerald family lived for a period of time. It features Dick Diver, a psychiatrist, and Nicole Diver, his wife, and one-time patient. Theirs is a turbulent love, fraught with parties, mental health issues, and an affair. Not unlike the Fitzgeralds' love at the time. It also has tones of Hollywood finally entering in, where Scott would soon move to pursue work as a screenwriter, to cover his many debts, drinking habit, school tuition, and hospital fees. The affair that Dick Diver had is based on Scott's own affair with Lois Moran, a young and promising Hollywood actress. But once again, the ending differs from reality. In the novel, Dick spirals into alcoholism and depression. Unable to cope, Nicole divorces him. It is unclear whether this end is written for Scott or for Zelda, because both had the potential to complete the exact same spiral. Save Me the Waltz has a longer story arc than many of Scott's novels. After all, he covered their life in 4 novels. Zelda only has 1, so she starts at the very beginning. This novel is highly autobiographical, like Scott's first. Alabama Beggs, a Southern belle, meets David Knight, an artist from the northern states with Irish Catholic roots. He is an army officer stationed near her hometown, and the two have a sweeping romance in Mary, only to be immediately faced by financial struggles. But then, by luck would have it, David gains renown and as a painter, and the two move to the French Riviera. But unhappiness ensues, and Alabama has an affair with the French aviator. The affair sours, and Zelda, I mean Alabama, flings herself into ballet, a passion of her younger years. She now seeks becoming a prima donna. She falls ill, ending her ballet career, and the two return to the States. Only as Alabama remarks that though they may seem happy outwardly, they are miserable on the inside. Like Scott's later novels, this story was torn to shreds by critics and sold meagerly, and is now out of print. Some possible sexism may be at play for the way Zelda's novel was handled by critics. It was somewhat crueler than the way Scott's were. But, dear listeners, I encourage you to decide for yourself. Will you see the other side of paradise, or ask for the save waltz? We'll end with 2 quotes, one from each Fitzgerald. See if you cannot guess who put it to paper. Most people hew the battlements of life from compromise, erecting their impregnable keeps from judicious submissions, fabricating their philosophical drawbridges from emotional retractions, and scalding marauders in the boiling oil of sour grapes. And the second quote? They were still in the happier stage of love. They were full of brave illusions about each other, tremendous illusions, so that the communion of self with the self seemed to be on a plane where no other human relations mattered. They both seemed to have arrived there with an extraordinary innocence, as though a series of pure accidents had driven them together. So many accidents that at last they were forced to conclude that they were for each other. They had arrived with clean hands, or so it seemed. After no traffic, with the merely curious and clandestine.